Foreigners, two languages, one unexpected conversation. Welcome to No Prep Talk. With you today, Romeo, Joanna, and Priscilla.
Hi, welcome to today's episode. So just to give a heads up about today's episode, it's going to be a little bit different because we decided to hold a debate today based on a closed-ended question to challenge our argumentative abilities. So brace yourselves for the next hour because it's going to be interesting. In light of the most recent technology and private investment in space science or astrobiology, as it's called, the question of today is something that I've asked myself countless times before and have not reached a conclusion yet. Maybe today. So is there extraterrestrial life?
Okay, that's good. You know, I actually am very, very passionate about this subject, not specifically extraterrestrial or not, but the whole question of space and life. I grew up thinking that is a statistical impossibility for us to be alone. So to the question of whether we are alone in the universe or not, I think we're sort of a part of the universe. So if we happen, if there are so many different worlds in similar circumstances as our own, how can we be the only ones, you know? And I'm not sure the question has been answered already. We're going back and forth, finding little pieces of information that can help us. But it is believed that some of the life that we have on Earth may have come from outside. So that's one of the roads that people are investigating. And on the other end, we do come from a certain background, and so sometimes when we're looking for life, we tend to look for life in similar circumstances in ours, like the original Star Trek series didn't conceive aliens that didn't have, you know, two legs and two arms and so on. So we're looking for space beings approximately 2 meters tall, or maybe 1 meter if they're little green men. So life goes way beyond that. The possibility of life is endless, and even the environment in which they can prosper we're still finding life in the most inhospitable places on Earth, you know, volcanoes and places with absolute darkness and with many tons of pressure. So why not in just the emptiness of space, you know, or why not in Venus? Why not in Mars underground somewhere?
The science, that's a very, very good comparison, because that's something that the scientists also use. So they actually compare organisms that are living in extreme conditions to, you know, possible life in other planets. So that's a yes for you, Romeo.
An absolute yes for me, yes.
Okay. And Elder?
I would say I don't know. I would also argue that we don't know, but it sounds not only feasible, but pretty likely, just based on the vastness and the sheer size of the universe, what we call known universe. There's also an argument to be made that the probability, or the kind of the setup that came from the Big Bang in order to have the life that we have now on Earth, it's such a set of conditions that allow that, that makes life not a very abundant thing across the universe. Like, it did really have to happen this way for to generate life on Earth. So I think the good argument is not so much, well, we are here, therefore there must be someone else, but more like there's so much of the universe that we don't know and is so big, more than we can actually measure. There's a probability there that there's some form of extraterrestrial life. And the interesting question is even beyond the yes or no, it's what kind of extraterrestrial life? Because when we find, if we find there's a molecule of X or a protein or whatever in Mars, no one is going to get excited with that other than the scientists, but that is a form of extraterrestrial life.
Yeah, even just a singular cell is life, you know? How do you picture it? So if your answer was yes, how do you picture extraterrestrial life?
For me, would be something that is not, I mean, it would be a concept that I am yet to understand. So it'd be some different form of consciousness or something like that. Not so much two arms and two legs. Yeah, it would be something that it would be hard to understand at the beginning. That's what I would imagine.
I definitely don't think it's the image that Hollywood has, tell us for all these years. I mean, you know, that green little monster with a rounded, hairless head with one eye or whatever it is. I don't really picture it that way. I see it as if we do find something at some stage, it could be something like a cell, like a single cell, or it could be actual evolved societies and communities, you know, intelligent beings. How do you picture it, Romeo?
All forms. how do I say this? I think that it's very likely that life happens. I think consciousness is less likely, but also likely. So it's likely that it's abundant in any planets that would have enough chemistry to make it happen. But then
like Uranus.
but I would say that if they do evolve, we have no idea of what different forms they can take, in the sense that as for life on Earth, the path that the multiple organisms have taken to get to the few intelligent species that we have today, us and, you know, like simians, dolphins, or I don't know, all sorts of animals that process information reasonably. If we think that there was a left turn somewhere else, and cells are not needed for there to be life somewhere else, then why not? So I think that it's possible that some life forms are remotely similar to ours, just because, you know, that there is so much life probably that some of them may end up being similar to us, in the sense that they will have some form of eye, because vision is always helpful for when there's a sun around. There's possibly some form of scent in some of those options, and sometimes they're also combined. As for brains, they developed the way they did, so we process information in certain ways. In other places, there may be some sort of storing of information that doesn't have a central processing unit, such as that of animals that we know. So in the end, what I would say is, what we can expect is to eventually find some form of organism nearby, that being some bacteria, some microbe of sorts. But it's going to be tougher to find other more complex beings, because we're surrounded by emptiness. So in order for us to get to the next world and then the next one, it would take us a very long journey. So in the end, yeah, the best option we have is for us to find organisms that are so advanced that we will even see their structures from the distance.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the options that of what we are searching for.
The science itself has been evolving in their journey looking for life outside of Earth. So, I mean, their research has been, it's different now. Now with all this private investment and other things, and new and recent technology, they, you know, things have been evolving. So they started to look for, the little green monsters. Now they are looking for things such as water. You know, they
micro farts.
Yeah, so there's satellites going to different planets to, they take samples of the planet of the, you know, whatever is there, and they used to look for water. Now they also look for things such as different colors, you know, colors that could mean the presence of vegetation, which means life, gas that is produced by living things. So technology has been evolving. And so we now know a lot of things that we didn't know before, which is amazing. And we are even planning to maybe someday, if the Earth, you know, no longer has the right conditions for us, that we can go outside of here and live in another planet. Do you think that could be an option?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm counting on that. Well, I think in my lifetime, we'll put humans in Mars.
Yeah.
And then the generation afterwards probably will see kind of civilization being built a little bit, you know, we're going to have the moon as a test drive, and then the rehearsal for Mars. But yeah, absolutely. Which is it's a very interesting idea. One thing I was thinking when you were talking about the extraterrestrial life and the things we're searching, I also find very interesting the question of, if we were to make contact, how would that look like? With obviously not a single cell, but
for radio signals, that's something that they have been doing, but haven't really found anything.
But how would you imagine it to happen?
I mean, something like that. Somehow on Earth, an interception of a radio signal of a foreign language. From the space. Something like that. How would you picture it?
I thought of two movies that I really like their approach on that. One is the obvious one on our minds at the moment, which is Contact. But the other one, a more recent, The Arrival. I think it was very interesting approach on the whole using maths and sounds and not seeing the aliens. I think it was very interesting, or at least it was different, which was refreshing. And I really like that.
What do you picture?
Yeah. I don't think we will for a very long time, I don't think we'll have any sort of contact. I think the only thing that one thing is for us to acknowledge that something is there, and for another entirely different thing is for us to be able to, you know, take the right steps in order to start a dialogue. And I think we're focusing on the dialogue as if we're suddenly transposing the laws of physics. I was actually thinking about that. I was thinking of the premise of a somewhat recent theory that says that we can, in fact, at some point, go faster than the speed of light. So this to say, maybe we can shorten the time that it would take us traveling at the speed of light, assuming that that would be possible.
But we did already in Star Wars.
Yeah, in Star Trek and a few others. I think that this optimistic thought that we are going to travel faster than light is going that we can't even, I don't know, change the color of our car throughout the season without, you know, a major effort of getting ink out and putting it back in. And suddenly we're thinking that we're going to control matter in such a way that we will disregard it, move it across or beyond space-time. It's like we're going to maneuver space and we're going to maneuver time, and we're going to bend those and get matter to pass it. Like the day that yes. I press a button and the car changes color, I'm going to start thinking maybe one day we will travel almost at the speed of light. For the time being, I think it will take many, 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 many generations for us to be able to have any sort of contact.
I think it's possible. I think that's very possible, because if you think about it, like, when did the space race started? In the 60s, was it?
I think
it was in the 60s, and we went to the moon in the
69. That's the date to remember.
So, like, it's been how many years? 50, 60 years now? And look at all the progress that we've made. Like, 60 years ago, we put our feet on Earth on the moon for the first time. And 60 years later, we knew just a little bit of the space and the planets and the moon. And now we have progressed so much from there. We know so much more now.
I don't want to sound pessimistic. I think it's possible, and I think it's the way. We will, in time, in many, 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 many generations, be able to manipulate matter. And that's a good first step for us to then manipulate space-time. And from manipulating matter up until that point in which we manipulate space-time, many, many, many generations again. So what I think is, what may happen is some long-gone form of a civilization has emitted some form of information that we identify, that being radio, that being light, that being whatever it is, but they emitted something many millions of years ago, and it's now arriving here, and we identify it as a civilization, and we go, okay, they are alive, or they were alive at the time of the emission. Let's crash their party. And it will take us millions of years to get there at the speed of light. And when we do get there, they're gone. It's like, what is it? Rome has fallen 1,500 years ago, right? Civilization as we know it sort of formed 3,000, 4,000 years ago. We don't know much beyond 12,000 years of civilization on Earth. And then ambitioning that a civilization remains millions and hundreds of millions of years past their initial emission of information is very optimistic. I tend to be amused or saddened by the fact that if a certain civilization is on the other side and they notice our first emissions of anything, and that was radio, they will hear speeches of Hitler. That's the first communication. Those are among the first few things that we sent out there. So, you know, it will take a long time for anybody to hear that we emitted that 80 years ago. So I'm not expecting. So 80 years, that's a couple of stars that we've reached so far. I don't know if there's anybody there. I don't know if there's anybody listening in 80 years.
They also might not be looking for communicating.
Yeah. So how's the first contact? It's not. Once we understand that there's somebody out there, we'll just be happy. And we'll just be, it's like, you know, those moments on a train, passing another train on the opposite direction. They both stop and you see somebody and there's no possible communication. Then the train moves on and that was it.
We are going to be very happy, especially because our planet is collapsing, so finding another one will be handy in the long term.
We're planning on doing that. Elon Musk is working on building a little hut in Mars.
Yeah.
On Mars. So.
So, what are your thoughts about those people and their stories all around the world who say that they saw a UFO before?
I think it is quite likely that they've seen UFOs, and probably you and I have seen UFOs as well, because if we take it, if we understand the word, it just means unidentified flying object, we probably have seen. I think what the misconception there is if we've seen alien ships, right, of alien origins, and that's probably what we might not have seen, or at least there's no evidence of that. Well, there's been some release of footage from, you know, U.S. military where they see these flying objects that could just make maneuvers. That seems impossible with our own technology at nowadays, but that could be easily still, you know, secret technology or stuff like that. So I think, especially when you're predisposed to that sort of storyline where, you know, there's aliens here, they're among us, you're much more open to anything that happens. You give it that meaning, right? So I think it tends to happen in areas where people have that maybe too much open-mindedness to that topic. And then when they see something, they make the immediate connection. So I don't doubt that they've felt that experience. Whether that's true or not, that's, you know, that's hard to gauge, because we would need strong evidence, especially close encounters of third degree, right? That is one that we really need evidence far more than just first person account or personal accounts of what happened. But I personally, they haven't visited me, which I take it personally, because I have a lot to say.
Are you sure? What if they use a human form?
I mean, if they were to use, probably they would pick me. That makes sense. You know, they need a good specimen, healthy one, smart, funny, all those qualities. I'm sure that's what they're looking for. But I mean, they would go through all the trouble to just take one human and then kind of do an experiment. It just feels a bit too Hollywoody. If they're
and
so advanced.
And if you put some music and some dance, it would even turn it Bollywoody. Yeah.
Oh.
Apologies. It's the alien.
Yeah, we have to edit this part. Yeah.
So
it's funny how people, like when they describe those events, when they say that they saw something on the sky or whatever, it always matches with the same description. So, you know, the Hollywood description, the one that they show us on the movies. I think that's funny and not a coincidence.
Let me ask you this, I'm curious. Let's assume scientists discover that there's a sort of civilization in one of these planets. Doesn't matter the details, but it's a civilization that is not that different from ours in terms of maybe how they look or where, what stage of evolution they are, something like that. And we're about to make contact. Now, that contact will be made by us sending one song to them. Which song would you pick?
Depends. Is the civilization in Mars?
Oh! No.
I would pick the one from Toy Story, you know, the friend one. I don't know how, I can't remember now. You have a friend in me.
Mm.
You have a friend in me. Something okay. Like
so no Fado, I'm assuming then.
Oh, no. Not that I don't like Fado, it's just, it's very sad. As a first impression, that wouldn't be great.
Okay.
I'd go with something like Tibetan throat singing or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, let them think we're Zen. Let's fool them for starters. And then we'll figure out how to tell them all about the deeper sides of what we are.
They'll be like, these guys are way too clever for us.
Yeah. No, I've a song. Would we be able to send something they'd recognize? Because, like, let's think whales, right?
Let me just add one thing to that question before you answer. Yeah. I think the interesting part of the question is not how they would perceive it, what would make sense for them, is how we individually think that a song represents what we want to convey, right? Whatever you're going to choose is going to convey your perception or the perception you want to attribute to civilization, to humankind, to mankind, and to others. And I think that's the interesting part when you pick one.
Well, then, though that sort of Zen mode would be cool. Either those chants, or maybe even that Buddhist DJ that is spreading the word of the word of the Lord through his DJ set. I don't know. Whatever is like a message of peace and tranquility, I suppose, could be a first start.
That is very deep.
Thank you. The DJ set thing.
You want to talk about God and everything? That wouldn't be a successful conversation going out here in Ireland. That's nothing like small talk. So you do, like, you kind of see it as intelligent life, do you? Would you be able to conceive like a proper evolved civilization, maybe even more, you know, advanced than us, more intelligent than us?
Yeah, I particularly like the idea that we're probably one of the most primary forms of civilization. And it's probably like, I usually see it this way. It would be something like the relationship between us and an ant, in terms of one being conscious of the other, right? So however I see the ant probably recognizes that we exist, but in terms of the consciousness and knowledge and it doesn't have the capability as far as we know. So for the ant to understand what humans are and philosophy, art, and so it goes beyond their perception. I'm assuming all of this, obviously. But that that distance that is so short because you live in the same universe, but at this, in the same planet actually, but is so far beyond comprehension when you go into the consciousness part. I think I would assume something along those lines would be the difference between us and an advanced civilization. There will be other dimensions and all these sort of complicated stuff that we can't even begin to ask the question.
Yeah, because like so many things are going to be different between our planet and their planet. So we live here because there's oxygen and there's water, and we use that oxygen to live. If in their planet, if there's not oxygen at all, they might be living out of something else, out of nitrogen or cobalt or something. And that would definitely make a completely different form of life. So what are your thoughts about this, Romeo?
I'm convinced, we know nothing for sure, but I'm convinced that life is abundant. I'm convinced that it among those options, some of them will have intelligence for a while before they destroy themselves. If they don't destroy themselves, they become maybe advanced enough to, I don't know, to become what Elder was suggesting, you know, very, very above everything sort of beings, almost godlike beings. So I would say there will be a scale of different levels of intelligence. Now, would it be worth it if we get past distance in time or distance time? Will it be worth it for an advanced life form to communicate with us? Why not? It's interesting not to be alone. So they wouldn't look at us like we're ants. I think they'd go like, oh, I find very interesting that you have this solution for this problem in terms of either your machines or even how you develop legs to get from place A to place B, you know. So I think they'll be curious enough, the same way that we are trying to learn how the ant society is so developed. So so basically, we're studying ants to understand how they communicate, how they can have millions and millions of beings working at the same time with a common goal without having, you know, a common language.
That's a good point you've made there. Do you think that some people could see them as gods and maybe start new religions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We can start. I mean, we can start new religions for everything.
Like this, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
I mean, so, if they are more intelligent and more evolved beings, like I can see how people would consider them gods of the universe or something like that.
Historically, I think the concept of God has been, you can equate it to gaps in knowledge, right? So whatever you don't know, that is, you don't have an explanation, you just call it God because it's bigger than yourself. So it's fire at some point, it's the sun, it's the universe, whatever it is, just so hard to understand at that point in time that it becomes God. So I'm not saying all religions are based on that, but I would assume a lot of them would be based on what is called the God of the gaps. So the aliens is just another form of that. So we can't explain it. So it would be something like that.
Yeah, we can't explain it. I would love to live enough to know, though. I would love to see us going to Mars and love to see if there's life outside of Earth. So just as a fun fact, so Earth has life because it's rocky. So the radiation from the sun, it's not as harmful for us. And that's why we can live here, otherwise we couldn't. and because the distance from Earth to the sun, so Earth is a third planet from the sun, that distance makes the water here on Earth liquid. And that's two of the main reasons why we can live here on Earth. So recent technology, super hyper sensitive new microscope or telescope, sorry, called TESS, has identified 47 other planets with the same conditions as Earth, like 47. And this is only in short, medium range distance. It's not even the whole universe, the whole galaxy, the universe. So yeah, there's possibility there.
Well, the thing, I'm not remembering the name of the guy, but there was a guy that created that rule. And so we call those planets, the planets that are in the, whatever the name of the guy is, zone. And Goldilocks, I don't know, but you know, some guy. But basically, that goes in the way of saying we're looking for things that are similar to us. And while doing that, we are excluding the possibilities of everything else that is not us. So yeah, we're excluding the possibility of life on in between planets. I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying that it's unlikely, but it's not been proven impossible. We just don't know. If we expand our consciousness of what life can be, why not finding it in some form of an asteroid or something, you know? Yeah, mm-hmm. They fall asleep and they get close to the sun and they, you know, they get their, I don't know, protein or whatever it is, and then they go back to sleep for a few thousand years. We don't know. It's nice to have 46 planets in the list. There are many, many, many more. And the cool part is the other planets can have life as well, just slightly different from us.
Maybe since we started with a closed question, maybe to end with a closed question that came to mind is, so we can all answer that. If next year we would to discover, I think it's called exoplanet or something like that, so it has the same conditions as Earth. Mm-hmm. And they would have 100 people signing up to move to that planet within the next 10 years. Would you guys sign up?
In the next 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well,
no. Well, I would go, but I would like to come back. I would go just to see it for myself, but then come back.
I don't think it would be like a touristic trip. I'm not assuming that.
Would you
10-year
sign up?
No, I don't think I would. I think it sounds good, but I don't think I would. I would have the profile for that.
Mm. Well, if it was 5 years ago or 3 years ago, I would consider it strongly. Right now, I'm sort of divided. I think age is catching up, and I'm thinking, I do enjoy having my wine every now and then and having my crisps and all those sins. So if I can't just jump into the supermarket, it will be sort of boring. So no for me.
Okay, guys. So that was our podcast today. It was a pleasure. I hope you liked it. See you next week.
Yes, brilliant. See you.
Thank you, Joanna. Bye.
Bye.